Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
In Revelation chapter 2, we continue our study this morning. Revelation chapter 2, beginning in verse 18, reading through the end of the chapter. This is God's word. "To the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these are the words of the Son of God, whose eyes are like blazing fire, and whose feet are like burnished bronze. I know your deeds, your love and faith, your service and perseverance, and that you are now doing more than you did at first. Nevertheless, I have this against you. You tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess. By her teaching, she misleads my servants into sexual immorality and the eating of food sacrificed to idols. I have given her time to repent of her immorality, but she is unwilling. So I will cast her on a bed of suffering, and I will make those who commit adultery with her suffer intensely unless they repent of her ways. I will strike her children dead. Then all the churches will know that I am he who searches hearts and minds, and I will repay each of you according to your deeds. Now I say to the rest of you in Thyatira, to you who do not hold to her teaching and have not learned Satan's so-called deep secrets, I will not impose any other burden on you. Only hold on to what you have until I come. To him who overcomes and does my will to the end, I will give authority over the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He will dash them to pieces like pottery, just as I have received authority from my Father. I will also give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. This letter begins with a word of commendation. It's a word of encouragement. It is a very, very positive word. If you look back at the previous letters, you find some folks who didn't fare as well as this. You find that the church in Ephesus had lost their first love. They were not walking as they once had, and they're called to repent and do the deeds they did at first. This church, the church in Thyatira, is told, "I know your deeds, your love and faith, your service and perseverance, and that you are now doing more than you did at first." Hey, that's about as positive as one could hope for. I mean, love, right there, they're commended for it. Church in Ephesus lost their first love. These folks, you're displaying love. And you're showing it in your deeds. You're doing more now than you were before. Tremendous. What was their sin? What was their problem? Where did they mess up? Tolerance. Tolerance. I thought that was the supreme virtue. I mean, isn't that what our culture holds up as the most important thing? The most important thing is just that whatever, you know, whatever your particular bent is, you got to be tolerant of everybody else. Well, first of all, let me point out, this was not a matter of tolerating people in society. This wasn't a matter of live and let live in terms of pluralism in the culture. This is talking about within the church, those who have been redeemed, those who have been born again, purchased with the blood of Christ, those who are claiming to be his followers. There's a world of difference between trying to tell a bunch of pagans that they need to behave like Christians, which is insane, and telling Christians that they need to behave like Christians, which is commanded. We don't insist that everybody in the world behave the way that Jesus says we should behave. It is impossible to do that apart from a new nature. Even if you want to do the right thing, you find yourself doing the wrong thing. That's our flesh. But Christians, Paul rebukes the Corinthians and says, you're behaving as if you're only human. A person who has been born again, born of the Spirit, isn't only human. They're now a new creature in Christ. The old is gone, the new has come. And so we now have, by God's grace, the power to live a transformed life. I still have a sin nature that keeps wanting to rise up and lead me in the wrong direction. And every day I have to die to it. Sometimes I get it right. If you read the Ten Commandments rightly, you realize that God is mercifully telling us how to behave for our good and the good of others.
You are listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is
and is holding. Please understand that when the Lord says to these folks, I know your deeds, but I have this against you. You tolerate that woman Jezebel who calls herself a prophetess. By her teaching, she misleads my servants into sexual immorality and the eating of food sacrificed to idols. Now think about that. By her teaching, she misleads whom? My servants. Not just anybody. These are people who are children of God, who belong to God, who are being misled by somebody who calls herself a prophetess, who claims to have insight from God. Thank God we don't have anything like that going on today. Today, the only people who are given the opportunity to preach and teach are all godly, insightful, sanctified folk. You think? No, still a problem. There always, until Jesus comes, will be false teachers. And the only way you're going to know what's true and what's false is by going to God's Word. This woman, called Jezebel here, misled God's people by claiming that she had some additional knowledge. She had secret knowledge. And those of us who know the truth need to not only not be deceived, but we need to not tolerate false teachers. Jezebel was a very wicked woman in the Old Testament, and this Jezebel was a very wicked woman in the book of Revelation. If you notice in your order of service, the title is Unless They Repent. The call to repentance is a message of hope. God says that it's possible for these people who've been doing really bad stuff to repent. He says, unless they repent, I'm going to do this. Why does he say unless they repent? Why is he still giving them another opportunity? Well, that's not all. He says that he had given Jezebel an opportunity to repent. Look at it. Verse 21. I have given her time to repent of her immorality, but she's unwilling. Why would he do that? Well, I don't know, but it's the only reason I'm alive. It's true. I look back at my life and I think of some of the insanely stupid things that I have said and done, and it is astounding to me that God, in his mercy, would not only allow me to live, but continue to use me. I've shared with many the story of when I was a teenager, and God had told me to share the gospel with a young man who was visiting from out of town. And I refused to do what God said. And at the end of the day, when I was having my quiet time, I'm on my knees before the Lord. You'd think if you're on your knees, you'd realize you need to surrender. But I'm on my knees in prayer, and I remembered that God had told me I was supposed to witness to that kid. And I said, and Lord, if you wanted me to witness to that kid, I'm sorry I didn't do it. And that's not much of an apology, because I knew he wanted me to. But if you want me to witness to him tomorrow, and I laid out my three conditions for God. I said, he's got to be at the Barker's house when I go down there tomorrow. And I'm not going to start a conversation with him. He's got to start it with me. And I'm not going to try and turn it towards spiritual things. He has to do that. Okay. If God had a temperament like mine, my parents would have found a little tiny pile of ash at the foot of my bed where I'd been kneeling. And they'd say, what happened to Jimmy? I mean, I don't know why God let me live. He not only let me live, the next day when I went to the Barker's house, that boy was there. As I walked into view, he said, hey, Jim, how are you? We started having a conversation. In the midst of the conversation, he said, I'm sorry to change the subject, but how can I be born again? That's the God we're dealing with, a God who is so amazingly merciful and kind that he not only is willing to forgive people who repent, he's willing to use us. How amazing is that? Blows my mind. And so it blows my mind when I'm reading this about a woman who has been misleading others, leading other people into sin, leading the saints of God into sin. And the Lord says, I've given her time to repent, and she's unwilling. That's the problem. Jesus says in John chapter 3, this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and men prefer darkness because their deeds are evil. That's our problem. It's not a lack of information. It's an unrepentant heart that refuses to repent. Later in the book of Revelation, this is going to figure prominently, when time and again, as the wrath of God is being poured out, people are given the opportunity to repent, and it says, and even then, they would not repent. They would not repent. The call to repentance is a merciful call of God. And here in this passage, though Jezebel is about to be struck, God says, I will make those who commit adultery with her suffer intensely unless they repent of her ways. Wow. Again, I would just write them off. I'd say, well, they're not really Christians. If they were really Christians, they wouldn't do that. God says, they're going to suffer intensely unless they repent. Why would he do that? Why would he extend mercy? Because, folks, all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You see, the church is not a collection of good people who haven't done bad things. You know, we're having a membership drive here in the community. We're trying to pull together a group of people who are basically pretty self-righteous and feel good about it. No. God forbid. We deserve hell. Jesus died to save sinners. As he reveals himself in this passage, and as he calls his people to stop tolerating sinful lives on the part of those who claim the name of Christ, as he calls them to do that, he also displays his willingness to forgive. to accept those who do repent. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. That does not mean there is no judgment. It does not mean there is no punishment. He says, I will strike her children dead. And then all the churches, not just the church in Thyatira, then all the churches will know that I am he who searches hearts and minds, and I will repay each of you according to your deeds. Let that sink in. I am he who searches hearts and minds. Have you ever put on a false face? My wife asked me why in our wedding pictures, all the pictures of me looked identical. It's true. You can look through our album. In every photo, I have a warm and friendly smile. I was a preacher's kid, and I learned that no matter what's going on, when you answer the phone, you say, Wood Residence. You don't say, hello? What? Wood Residence. It's always a calm, reassuring tone. And when you face the public, you don't want to look like this, because then they'll wonder what's wrong and they might ask and you might be tempted to tell them. Instead, everything's fine. Thank you. But let me tell you, even if you learn how to look good for others, God searches hearts and minds. He knows everything about you. He knows more about you than you know about you. He not only knows everything about your current situation, God knows everything about your future. He knows everything. And he searches what's on the inside. The reasons why you do what you do, which you may not even understand, God understands. He knows what's going on. You don't fool him for a second. And he says, I will repay each of you according to your deeds. Wow. And then he says something beautiful. Now I say to the rest of you in Thyatira, those who were not involved in the Jezebel cult, those who were not following that false teaching, those who were not involved in that kind of behavior, but simply needed to take a stand against it. Now I say to the rest of you in Thyatira, to you who do not hold to her teaching and have not learned Satan's so-called deep secrets, I will not impose any other burden on you. Only hold on to what you have until I come. What is that? I will not impose any other burden on you. That is a reference back to when God's Spirit spoke through the apostles in Jerusalem, telling all the churches out there in the form of a letter. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to tell you these are the things you need to work on. You don't have to be circumcised. But what you do need is to avoid sexual immorality and food that's been offered to idols. Don't do that. Don't get immersed in those things. He says, beyond that, I will not impose any other burden on you. That was what the Spirit had said back in the Jerusalem Council. And it's what the Spirit is still saying through the risen Lord Jesus right here. I'm not going to impose any other burden on you, but just hold on to what you have. Do you realize what you have and what a treasure it is? Guard the faith. Guard the truth. Only hold on to what you have until I come. And to him who overcomes and does my will to the end, I will give authority over the nations. And now he quotes from Psalm 2. The messianic psalm that applies to Jesus, Jesus takes and applies to believers who are faithful to the end. What an amazing thing. Jesus says, you know that scripture's about me. Well, let me tell you, it's not just about me, it's about you. Because the reason I came was not just so that you could be forgiven, it's so that you could be holy, and so that for all eternity, you could share the throne with me. Jesus is going to amplify this statement again at the end of the letters. The last of the letters, he will say to the church in Laodicea, to him who overcomes, I'll give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Wow. So when the Bible says we're going to rule and reign with him, that we're going to judge angels, is that true? Yeah, that's why the Bible says it. God doesn't lie. You're going to rule with him if you will be faithful. Hold on to what you have. So Jezebel, wicked person, not offered repentance at this point, but her followers amazingly offered repentance. Would God really have mercy on folks like that? Yeah, you see, Jezebel had a husband. His name was Ahab. Bad, bad man. Quickly, take a look in 1 Kings 21. Begin back in verse 17. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, who rules in Samaria. He's now in Naboth's vineyard, where he's gone to take possession of it. Say to him, this is what the Lord says, have you not murdered a man and seized his property? Then say to him, this is what the Lord says, in the place where dogs licked up Naboth's blood, dogs will lick up your blood. Yes, yours. Ahab said to Elijah, so you've found me, my enemy. I have found you, he answered. Because you've sold yourself to do evil in the eyes of the Lord, I'm going to bring disaster on you. I will consume your descendants and cut off from Ahab every last male in Israel, slave or free. I'll make your house like that of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, and that of Baasha, son of Ahijah, because you have provoked me to anger and have caused Israel to sin. And also concerning Jezebel, the Lord says, dogs will devour Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. Dogs will eat those belonging to Ahab who die in the city, and the birds of the air will feed on those who die in the country. There never was a man like Ahab who sold himself to do evil in the eyes of the Lord, urged on by Jezebel, his wife. He behaved in the vilest manner by going after idols like the Amorites the Lord drove out before Israel. When Ahab heard these words, he tore his clothes, put on sackcloth, and fasted. He lay in sackcloth and went around meekly. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite. Have you noticed how Ahab has humbled himself before me? Because he has humbled himself, I will not bring this disaster in his day, but I will bring it on his house in the days of his son. Tons of sermons written about the fact that Ahab didn't really repent. But you know what? God pronounces his verdict on what Ahab did. I wouldn't have accepted it. I would have said, you're not sincere. You're just saying this because you're scared. You're not really serious. You're just putting on a show. Sackcloth, fasting. Yeah, well, I'll believe it. I'm going to give it another year and then see how you're doing then. You know what God said? God said, I see, and I will delay my wrath. You know, I don't think we really have a tendency to see this in a balanced way. Because there are those who just basically believe that God doesn't get angry and God doesn't punish and that whatever you do, you just go right on. God really doesn't care about holiness. The Bible shoots that to bits. But those of us who know that God does punish sin, I think are often tempted to forget how ready God is to accept repentance. If you don't realize that our culture and our country and the so-called church in America desperately needs divine intervention, then you're part of the problem. There's a mess. Evil is called good and good is called evil. And we need to cry out to God to have mercy.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.